So today is such a special day. Om Jnanatimarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurumitam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. If it wasn't for Srila Prabhupada, many of us would not even know what Janmashtami was or have heard anything about Lord Krishna's birth. So I was asked to speak a little something on Janmashtami. We heard Tattva in Krishna book, also in Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, there's description. The Lord comes for a purpose. And we see the history of the world. The Lord comes, He sends His Son, He sends His representative. So 5,000 years ago, here on Earth, Mother Bhumi, Mother Earth, was feeling very disturbed by all these rascal kings who were irreligious. So much nonsense, just like even now, so much nonsense going on. So Srila Prabhupada said that this ISKCON, this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, has incarnated to again relieve the burden of Mother Earth. But it seems like in the material world that burden is relieved but again comes back. And I guess that's the nature of the Lord's Leela. So Mother Bhumi, in the form of a cow, approached Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma being the father, first created being. This is all history. This is all Vedic literature. This is Guru Parampara. Not that someone's making some stories that, you know, everyone thinks that Krishna is just some historic personality who appeared on earth. Yeah, he was strong, and you know, when someone does something wonderful, after it's repeated so many times, it becomes exaggerated. You know, like maybe he lifted some heavy object, now it became a hill, a mountain, Govardhan Hill. You know, many people like to fantasize stories. So Mother Bhumi went to Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma brought Indra, Shiva, and the powerful demigods to the ocean of milk, Shwetadweep, to pray to the Lord. Because what do you do when you're in a difficult situation? You pray to the Lord. What are all the army men and soldiers doing when they're in the midst of battle? An imminent death is coming. They get on their hands and knees and pray to the Lord. Oh Lord, please save me from my dangerous situation. Or if any of us are in a difficult situation, we see we have some terminal disease or some problem, we pray. So Lord Brahma, the demigods are all praying, and the Lord was communicating with Lord Brahma. The vibration, the sound vibration was coming. Others could not hear, but Tene Brahma Hrida Adikavaye, that the Lord was revealing to Lord Brahma within the heart that yes, I will come. I will appear on earth to relieve the tensions of the demoniac rulers. And also he instructed them, you tell all these demigods, these pious demigods, especially, you know, you take birth in the Vrishni dynasty, in the Yadu dynasty. So Parikit Maharaj was questioning Shukadeva Goswami, I want to hear about the Lord's appearance, how he came, why he came, what are his activities. And Shukadeva Goswami became very enlivened. Parikit Maharaj, the emperor of the world, being cursed to die within 7 days, he thought, I need to do something serious here now. You know you're going to die in 7 days. So naturally, people who are on the verge of death, they want to find the best doctors, the best medicine, the best hospital. I should go here for a cure. I should go there for a cure. But what did Shukadeva Goswami and Parikit Maharaj do? Parikshit Maharaj, he stopped drinking. As we were told by Bhuvaneshwar yesterday, we should fast today, Janmashtami, by performing some tapasya, some austerity. It increases our spiritual strength. So Parikshit Maharaj, he decided that I'm going to just absorb my mind in Krishna, hearing about Krishna, hearing about the birth of the Lord, His appearance and how He came to save us. So he did not drink, he did not eat. And as Shukadeva Goswami started reciting the glories of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna, he felt no more hunger, no more thirst. I know we heard story of Srila Prabhupada in New Vrindavan. It was getting late in the evening and he had the devotees reading Krishna book, the pastimes of Krishna. And of course the devotees were fasting all day. It's a little bit hot sometimes during, and you know, the body might feel fatigue. But Prabhupada, even though elderly, was relishing, was very excited to hear about Krishna. The thirst and the hunger and the inconveniences of the material body and material existence did not at all disturb him. So in the same way, Shukadeva Goswami was speaking the nectar of Krishna consciousness, and Parikshit Maharaj was fully absorbed in full attention. He was not sleeping, not feeling tired. Everything was on a transcendental platform. So the demigods, just like in Bhagavad Gita, it describes that if one is performing devotional service in a proper way, high caliber, maybe you didn't complete, many go take birth in the heavenly planets, in these demigods. And one can continue his devotional service from a demigod. One can actually take birth in the place where Krishna is performing his lila. So now came time for Krishna to appear in Mathura Vrindavan. So Mathura Vrindavan is transported from the spiritual world. It may seem like a mundane place to people who don't have proper vision. You know, we see dirt. We see, you know, it's just an ordinary city. No, Vrindavan Mathura is considered the spiritual world. And one who performs devotional service in Vrindavan Dham, Mathura Dham, if he does it nicely, he's guaranteed to go back to the spiritual kingdom. So this is great power. Spiritual, the Dham is considered very, very powerful. So the Lord, He sent the holy Dham, and all these demigods are taking birth as wives of the Brahmanas so they can assist in the pastimes of the Lord. When a great powerful personality comes, he brings his ministers, he brings his entourage. So just imagine, God, he has a very big entourage. He has so many wonderful devotees. And these devotees, again, it's their pastimes. We may wonder, why is it the Lord has such pastimes as his mother and father would be put in prison by Kamsa, that cruel Kamsa? Why is it that Devaki, her children, would be killed? All that is explained in the Bhagavatam. But many times in our own conception or ideas, why doesn't God just make everything perfect, you know? Because material world is not a perfect place. It's a place of suffering, a place of misery. And sometimes people have to learn a strong lesson before they have the determination and realization that I don't belong in this world. I need to go back home, back to the spiritual world. My father is calling. My father's friends are calling. This is the whole idea of Guru Parampara, that the saints, the Guru, Krishna, He's coming to recall all of us back to the spiritual kingdom. So here we are, 5,000 years ago, the demigods are taking birth, and Kamsa, Devaki is married to Vasudeva, and Devaki, she's the princess. Her father, Devaka, he gave thousands of elephants and horses and chariots with great opulence. This dowry system is still prevalent. Anyone who is wealthy, especially here, following Vedic culture, because the daughter does not inherit the father's property. So the father, according to his ability, gives as much as he can to the daughter for their marriage. So Devaki was blessed with several hundred beautiful maid servants and so much opulence. And Kansa, her brother, is riding the chariot, holding the reins. Then the voice, again, all Leela, Kansa, you're such a fool. The eighth child of your sister, the person that you're carrying on your chariot, will kill you. So naturally, demonic personalities, they're only interested in their own self-interest. They're not interested. He let go of the reins, grabbed his sister Devaki by the hair and took the sword ready to kill her. So Vasudev, being intelligent, the husband, he philosophically was explaining, hey, the body's temporary. Everyone who's born will grow old and die. Everything in this world's temporary. Although Kansa was not satisfied with just the philosophy, but he knew that Vasudeva was a very honest, trustworthy person. So as a last resort, Vasudeva thought, at least let me save Devaki's life. I will bring all the children to you and you can do as you like. So he thought, okay, I'm not in immediate danger. We'll deal with it when it comes. So the first child came for Devaki, although everyone was very joyous, and Vasudeva thought, I have to honor my word. He brought the child before Kansa. And Kansa thought, oh, no danger from this first child. You may keep. Not a big deal. But then again, those words, those voices are coming that, you know, the demigods are taking birth in the Vrishni family. All the associates of the Lord are coming in all the families in Braj. So Kansa became completely mad. He took all his ministers and went on a rampage to kill all the newborn babies. Imagine what terror that would be, that the ruler of your state is coming after all the newborn children to kill them. You know, what fear, what anxiety that would be. So that everyone became dispersed. They went this way and that way. They were all the different devotional families were trying to hide from Kansa. So the story, as it's being narrated in Srimad Bhagavatam, goes on that he immediately arrested Devaki and Vasudeva. He put them in prison in shackles. And year after year, he killed the babies, one after another. So now the time is coming closer to Krishna's advent. We heard about Lord Baladev last week. We had the auspicious appearance of Sri Baladev, who is non-different than Krishna, his first incarnation. Then from Baladev comes the Narayan and many expansions, even the quadruple expansions, then Mahavishnu. So it's very difficult to even appreciate the glories of the Lord. Ananta Shesha, Lord Balaram, in the form of Ananta, with his thousands and millions of hoods, has been glorifying the Lord since time immemorial and still has not reached the summit. So what am I going to say? We're just trying to have a little glorification of the Lord on his very auspicious day. But he has unlimited qualities that are very difficult to describe. So the Lord instructed Yogamaya. We heard Mukunda Datta speaking about Yogamaya. So there's Mahamaya. She keeps everyone in illusion. Yes, you're happy in this world. You know, stay here, get a good education, make money, try to enjoy your family, be happy. But we see no one was ultimately happy, because we're all forced to grow old. We're forced to get disease, and we're forced to die, ripped out of the body. Isn't, you know, it's a very graphic description, but frankly speaking, it's a painful experience. This is why nobody wants to die. Everyone wants to preserve their life in a youthful way. The cosmetic industry is a multi-billion-dollar industry because people, you know, want to put the cream on and look youthful as long as possible. It doesn't work because ultimately it's all going to get baggy and fall apart anyway. But this is the material life, and Mahamaya keeps those who are envious of the Lord, keeps those who want to try to enjoy separately from God in the illusion that there is some happiness, like the carrot dangling before the donkey. The donkey is walking after the carrot, never catching the carrot. So we're trying to suffer, enjoy in this world by chasing that illusion of material happiness, which ultimately doesn't exist. So Yogamaya, he instructed, okay, you're going to take birth in the womb of Rohini and then be transferred to Devaki. And you have your duties to perform. So now it's coming down to that time for the birth of Lord Krishna. And when the Lord is in the, first of all, from the heart of Vasudeva, and in the womb of Devaki, she became effulgent, glowing. And all the demigods were coming to the prison and offering beautiful prayers. These are not some stories. Just imagine 5,000 years ago, that everything became auspicious. The atmosphere was very beautiful. There's a detailed description in Srimad Bhagavatam of how when the Lord was about ready to appear, everything became wonderful, beautiful. But of course, they were still in the prison house. So the Lord, he appears in front of Vasudeva and Devaki in his four-handed form. Shri Krishna Janmastami ki. So the Lord actually appeared in this world, the same supreme Parang Brahma, Parang Dhamma, Pavitram, Purusham. This is Arjuna's glorifying, you're the supreme abode, the supreme purifier. You are everything. So Krishna is everything. And you think, well, he must be too busy enjoying life in Goloka Vrindavan, in the spiritual kingdom. Why should he be so concerned to come to this little tiny planet Earth to perform activities? But actually the Lord is taking birth at every moment in a different universe. So those souls, those devotees who are in the form of demigods and or who are nearing the completion of their sojourn in this material world, they leave this body and they take birth in the Leela pastime where the Lord is appearing. And he's always appearing, just like the sun is always rising somewhere, sometime. So the Lord's pastimes are eternal, Nitya Leela. This is the Lord's pastime. So it's not that Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago as old history. No, again he's appearing, and again he's appearing, continuously, goes on and on, forever. Verified. So this is something very transcendental and very beautiful. When the Lord appeared in the form, four-armed form, as Vishnu, Narayan, of course, Devaki was very happy, Vasudeva was happy, but they became fearful. They thought, oh, if they see you, they're going to know that Kamsa is going to kill you. So they begged the Lord, please, you take your baby form. So the Lord is never impersonal or some cloud or some impersonal energy in the sky. Man is made after the image of God. So although we have hands, legs, head, ears, eyes, nose, it didn't all happen by chance. Krishna has the most beautiful eyes, the most beautiful hands, the most beautiful face. Shyama Sundar, very beautiful. And so we're only replicas, little, maybe not so good replicas, but still we're part of Krishna, tiny little jivas. So the Lord, he took his baby form, and then he arranged that all the guards would fall asleep, all the shackles were released. Vasudeva was able to take Krishna across the Jamuna, even though rainy season, we see how the Jamuna is very full. So it parted for the Lord. Sheshanaga protected them from the rain. So he made his way to Gokul, and then he took Yogamaya and brought her back to be the baby. So this is all happening in a very transcendental way. So the Lord's appearance is very mystical and very enlivening for the devotees, because when the devotees hear, "My Lord has come to save me," what a great feeling. Imagine that you're imprisoned and you're suffering, you're tortured, you're complete anxiety, and you have no idea how you're going to get out of captivity. And then the SWAT team comes and they save you from your captors. So the Lord, He's the most powerful. He sends His representative. He Himself is coming to save us. So then, this is a great happiness. So when Kamsa heard that the eighth child was born, he was full of anxiety. The whole night he was in anxiety. He became somewhat Krishna conscious by default, because he was always thinking that I'm going to be killed by Krishna. Oh, maybe he's Krishna here. Krishna. His every moment he was thinking of Krishna. So he became somewhat Krishna conscious in that way. Actually, Krishna conscious, but not in a favorable way. So Krishna's appearance was a blessing, is a blessing for all of us. Sri Janmashtami, it's very much celebrated, as we heard from the Mukunda Datta, that Krishna Janmashtami, everyone in India knows Krishna, everyone knows Mathura, Janmabhumi, very, very popular. For a good reason, because Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and all of us have that opportunity to hear. By the Prabhupada's mercy, he spent his life dedication to write the Srimad Bhagavatam, to tell us the story, not tell us the stories, but he is bringing what Lord Brahma, what the Lord revealed to Brahma in the heart. Brahma told to Narada Muni, Narada Muni imparted this knowledge to Vyasadeva, and Vyasadeva compiled the Vedic literature, and that same Vedic literature we have an opportunity to take part in. So we should read Krishna book, we should read Srimad Bhagavatam, not only read it, but carry out the instructions. In the physical manifestation of Srimad Bhagavatam and Srila Prabhupada's instructions is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Now, we may not feel, sometimes we feel, oh, there are many problems in the society. There are many problems, but we should look in our own hearts, in our own minds, and try to better ourselves. We have perfect philosophy, perfect knowledge. We have a beautiful, perfect spiritual master and a perfect Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Shri Krishna Balaram, Shri Shri Radha Shyama Sundar, again Shri Shri Gornitai. They came. It's, you know, this forgetfulness is very prevalent in Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, we forget very quickly the message of the Lord. Isn't it? And I mean, we read something, or we might even see some film, and then but it's almost over. Oh yeah, I saw that before, but you totally forgot everything. So this is the nature of Kali Yuga, that we're short-lived, we're not devotionally inclined, we like to fight for no good reason, fight battles take place, we have a big false ego, but we are very fortunate. Because in this Kali Yuga, there's a very beautiful Dharma, Kali Kalir Dharma Krishna Nam Sankirtan. The Lord incarnates as His holy name. He takes birth as His holy name. And the sages were concerned, now that Krishna is gone, how are we going to maintain Dharma? So Srimad Bhagavatam is also the incarnation of God. You know, they put it in their head and they worship. Granta, the Srimad Bhagavatam is worshipful, like the deity. So worship the holy name, hallowed be thy name, that we should chant the name of Krishna. Ready? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This chanting of the Lord's name is a prayer. My Lord, somehow I've fallen in this ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of suffering and engage me as one of your servants. So that's very bold. We're talking to the Lord directly. But actually, Hare, we're approaching Srimati Radharani, trying to approach. And if Srimati Radharani is pleased, oh, this person is chanting my name nicely, chanting Krishna, Rama. So when the time comes, just like we hear the story of Ajamil, his time came. So the Yamadutas came to drag Ajamil to the kingdom of Yamaraj for punishment, because Ajamil deviated from his devotional life and he acted very sinfully. But because he called out the name Narayan, immediately the Vishnudutas appeared. So the messengers of the Lord are always appearing if we're calling out the name of God. We should sincerely call out Krishna's name, hear it. Srimati Radharani will put a good word in, yes, Krishna, this devotee is very nicely serving, chanting. Oh, he's a nice devotee? Okay, he can come home. So this is the wonderful auspiciousness of being here in Sri Vrindavan Dham on this very auspicious day of Sri Janmashtami. And we're going to hear some Leela pastimes. His Holiness Prabodhananda Saraswati Maharaj will also speak. I just wanted to give a basic summary to the best of my limited ability. But whatever service we can do for the pleasure of the Lord, this is wanted. This is why the demigods took birth, to assist the Lord in his Leela. So this is what we're trying to do, is assist Srila Prabhupada in his Leela of spreading the message of Krishna all over the world. And the more dedicated and sincere with enthusiasm that we can do something, do our service nicely, be a part of the machine. You know, because if a screw falls out, like I have these glasses here, and the screws are all loose and you know, falling apart. So it's like if a screw falls out, then the glasses become practically useless. So we're all important. We all have some function to perform in the service of Krishna. And so we should stay fit in Krishna consciousness by enthusiastically chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.